Hello and welcome to Avachim Podcast. In this podcast, we welcome guests who are waging a struggle. My name is Frederike Geerdink. I'm a journalist who writes and speaks about power structures and those who want to tear them down. This podcast is powered by Media News, which you can visit at medianews.net. Let me explain why this podcast is called Avachim, meaning blue water. Avachim is a region in the mountains of Kurdistan, where the river by the same name has its source. The Avachim is clear, blue, and sparkling, and an inspiration in the Kurdish struggle for freedom. In this episode, I'm honored to welcome Narin Alhas. Narin is a Kurd who lives in Germany, where she was born to a mother from East Kurdistan, or Kurdistan in Iran, and a father from North Kurdistan, or Kurdistan in Turkey. She is active for the human rights organization Hengal, which meticulously follows the protest in Iranian Kurdistan, which emerged after, 10 days ago, the young Kurdish woman Jina Amini was murdered by Iranian morality police for not wearing her headscarf properly. Welcome as my guest, Narin.
Thank you very much, Frederike. And thank you very much for the introduction. Before we start, I just would like to emphasize one thing. The Twitter account, which is known by my name, does not represent Hengal. So the content which is shared on my Twitter account is based on my own views, my own opinions.
Okay.
And now we can start.
Okay, very good. Thanks for the explanation. Yeah, my first question would be for you, like I ask all my guests the same first question. What is the source of your struggle? Where did it begin for you?
I myself come from a family that is very deeply rooted in the Kurdish movement and the Kurdish struggle on both sides. I have ancestors and I have also family members who fought for the rights of the Kurds, who were imprisoned for it, were exiled for it, were also executed for it. So that influenced me very much. And not only, so I see it as my task, not only as a member of this family, but also as a member of the Kurdish people, to be active and to be part of this Kurdish struggle. And I have translated many, many reports about the political situation in this part of Kurdistan, Iran, about the human rights violations, about the history, because I've noticed that especially this part of Kurdistan is very, very neglected, especially in reports, in German reports, in international reports. So, yes, this is the reason why I have become part of
this
struggle.
Yeah, we can get to that later. That's interesting. And it's true. Yes, I see it too. It's Iranian Kurdistan is underreported, definitely.
Yes.
Can you maybe first explain what Hengal is doing, what kind of organization it is, and what your place in it is?
Yes. So many people know Hengal. It's a non-governmental organization which was founded in 2016 by a Kurdish couple from Eastern Kurdistan, which has been reporting on human rights crimes in this part of Kurdistan, Iran. The couple Arsalan and Jila are both from also from this part of Kurdistan, and they are very, very active. Unfortunately, they and also their families who are living over there are being threatened by the Iranian security forces for their work. So they put themselves in a very great danger by doing it.
One second. So the two people who founded Hengal are still in Iranian Kurdistan?
No, they live in, I haven't mentioned it, they live in the Kurdistan region of Iraq.
Okay.
Their families live in Eastern Kurdistan, so the part in Iran.
Yeah.
But the seat is in the autonomous region of Kurdistan. We have also members in Europe, for example, me. I live in Germany. And since it focuses on Eastern Kurdistan and next to a few other organizations, we have maybe three organizations which report about human rights violations in Eastern Kurdistan. And since it's very neglected, Hengal has become a very popular and well-known organization. which serves as a source for many, many platforms worldwide.
Yeah.
About me, I have started to support Hangao, I think it was 2018. At the beginning, I was responsible for the translation of the reports from German from Kurdish into German, sometimes also into English. I was inactive for a while because 1 year ago I have started to work. I'm an architect by profession, so I do this work in my free time. And but luckily we have many, many members who are doing much more. So we are a good team. Yes.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And they have a very strong network on the ground, don't they? Because I've been following them for a long time on Twitter also. Mm-hmm. And they, Hangao knows so many details. Also, for example, the coal bearers, the people who carry the goods across the border. Hangao always knows exactly who is where, who is being attacked. So you have a network like everywhere in Rosilat,
yes.
Being East Kurdistan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think because Hangao becomes so famous, especially on the social networks like Facebook and Twitter, the people know it and they have many, many connections. So every time something happens in this part of Kurdistan, they immediately contact Hangao. So yes, we have many, many connections, and we are always aware of what is happening over there.
Yeah, and also now with the protests, there's many updates on the social media channels and very detailed, very good information.
Yes.
Of course, the protest started after Jina Amini was murdered by the morality police, and it started in Kurdistan, in Iran, and soon it spread like to practically every province in the whole country.
Mm.
Can you give a sum up of what the situation is now? How intense are the protests now? Because it seemed that in one of the towns in Shno, the security forces were not totally in control last week for 1 or 2 days.
Yes.
Are the security forces really in control, or are they struggling? And there's many people dying, people injured. What is your latest information?
So as you said, the protests have spread very, very fast across the country. They are very dynamic and have not existed in this form before. We have registered at least 25 cities only in Kurdistan where people went on the streets and participated. We can confirm that at least 18 people were killed only in Kurdistan. Under those killed people were 4 minors. All of these minors were only 16 years old, from the cities of Urmia, Shno, Piranshahr, and Islamabad. There were also killed people in other cities. I will not list them now. We registered 898 injured people. And now what I will say is very, very horrible to hear. The injured people are afraid of going to the hospitals because they think that when they go there, they will be arrested. And this is true because the security forces are waiting there in the hospitals for the people who go there, for the injured people, so that they can be arrested. We have received a report that more than 1,000 citizens only in Kurdistan were arrested. 300 arrested citizens have been identified by us so far. They are still arresting people right now. And there are normal people under these arrested people. There are activists, women, men, young and old, everyone. And for example, there are people who were arrested some days ago, and until today, we don't know where they are. We don't know anything about their whereabouts. And I think there will be many, many more arrests in the next days. So, yes, and there will come many, many repressive measures
in this part. But it seems that the protests are still continuing despite that repression, because it's a lot of people wounded, a lot of people detained, already 18 people killed, but still the protests are ongoing.
Yeah, that's true. You also asked about the city of Chinon. As you said, the current city of Chinon, for example, where regime forces have lost the control about the city. Unfortunately, now it is again completely occupied by regime forces and completely militarized. All shops are closed and you do not dare to go to the hospitals, as I said. And out of fear of being arrested, pharmacies are also closed by the regime forces. The regime forces are waiting at the pharmacies for the people who come to buy medicine, so that they can ask these people for who is this medicine you are buying, and then they want them to bring them to the injured people. We know at least five other people who were killed in Chinon. Their bodies are still in the hospital morgue. We weren't able to identify them so far. But yes, as you have said, the protests are going on and the people are not scared of the security forces, who are really, really aggressive. And we have seen that so many people died and so many people are injured, but I don't know, this time something is different. The people are not scared anymore.
But in a way, you say people are not scared. On the other hand, people sometimes don't go to the hospital, you said, if they're injured, because they could be arrested. And maybe people are not identified in the morgues because maybe people are scared to go to the hospital to claim the bodies of their families. How does it work? Like, people are not scared to go on the street, but at the same time, there's a fear.
So the thing is, the people go out of the streets when it's night. Because when it's night, when it's dark, the security forces can't identify them so good. And when they go together on the streets, I think they have less, they are not scared, because they are a big group of people. And I think this gives them so much, I forgot
courage,
the word.
Or...
courage, yes.
Yeah.
But when they have to go alone to the hospital, of course, they are scared, because they are alone there and they will 100% being arrested by the security forces.
Yeah,
I think there is the difference.
Yeah, and Hengao is like solely concentrating on Kurdistan in Iran. Yes. And you grew up in a family and in a community that is very well connected to the struggle of the Kurdish people there, and also in other parts of Kurdistan. It's not a coincidence, probably, that this started in Kurdistan, and that Jina Amini was a Kurdish woman, and that she was targeted this brutally by the morality police. Do you think that's true, or what do you think about that?
So I think it's very, very important to look at this whole thing in the context of the Kurdish situation. Because first of all, the people are not only protesting against the headscarf, not only. There are many, many other regulations. There are many, many forms of discrimination only against women, and many, many disadvantages. But that's not all. People are also demonstrating against the very bad economical situation in the land, against the lack of democratic structures, against social injustice, and so on. So we can listen to the slogans. The people who are protesting, they are not demanding a reform. They are demanding an overthrow of the government. And these reprisals and conditions also affect the Kurds as citizens of Iran. But and this is very important now to mention, there are reprisals and which affect Kurds collectively as a people in Iran. There's an ethnic oppression of the Kurdish people. So when we talk about the Kurdish situation, we must always keep the following in mind. First, the Kurds are an own people who are divided into four states. Second, the Kurds have their own history, which has been strongly influenced by the desire of self-determination. And for example, only in this part of Kurdistan, the Kurds have established an own Kurdish state, the Republic of Kurdistan.
Yeah, and, that was in the 1940s, right?
Right. And yeah. Third, the Kurds have their own political interests and their own demands and goals. I mean, the mere fact that the Kurds are denied the universal right of self-determination is a matter of itself. And so I would summarize it as follows. When we talk about the reprisals, which affect only Kurds, they are discriminated against, discriminated on a political, on a cultural, on a religious, and on an economical level. And these reprisals only affect the Kurds as a people. We are reminded of these reprisals every day. For example, Kurdish activists, they are every day being arrested by the security forces for political activism and for working with Kurdish parties. As a member of the UN, it was the UN, the member who is responsible for the human rights violations in Iran, he has confirmed it that more than half of the people who are sitting in the Iranian prisons for political activism are Kurds. So what many people also point out insistently about Jina is that she is officially called Mahsa, but her Kurdish name is Jina. And so a Kurdish name was not allowed. You have to know that Kurdish is in Iran is not allowed as an educational language, is not allowed as an official language, not allowed as a media language. And this is a form of suppression of the Kurdish language. So, for example, on January of this year, a Kurdish teacher, her name is Zara Mohammadi, she was arrested and she was sentenced to 5 years in prison. For what? What was her crime? She was
teaching children, Kurdish children, their mother tongue, yes, right?
Yeah. Yes, right. She was teaching children their mother tongue, the Kurdish language. What I'm getting at is all these things are driving the Kurds on the streets. So it's not only the reprisals which I have mentioned at the beginning. It's also the reprisals which only affect the Kurds as a people. And for the Kurds, Jina was a child of Kurdistan. And as we heard in a video some days ago, the mother of Jina called her an angel of Kurdistan. So it's very, very important to also look at the situation from the Kurdish perspective and also to recognize her Kurdish identity and to recognize her Kurdish name and to use her Kurdish name, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
And do you think that, because it's an interesting dynamic, because when this regime first came to power in the late 1970s, first the Kurds supported this revolution because they thought, or they were promised to get rights. Mm-hmm. And then very soon after the revolution, the Kurds were betrayed and they were not at all getting any rights. They were very harshly suppressed.
Yes.
And now you explain how important this Kurdish dynamic is and that Kurds are also collectively punished for who they are and for their struggle. But do you think that now it originated in Kurdistan? Do you think that people elsewhere in Iran have a good eye for this Kurdish dynamic and see that it, you know, that the Kurdish rights are important in this?
Unfortunately, I have observed the opposite. We can see it, or we have seen it in the last days on the social networks, on Twitter, but also on the streets when the people protested together against this regime. the Iranian diaspora says that it's not important to say that Gina was Kurdish, and these people are also the same who deny the Kurdish question and who deny the oppression of the Kurdish people. So I don't think that they realize the Kurdish question and the conflict. They always say that the Kurds are Iranian people, and I don't know. Maybe I don't know what the reason for their for this problem is. I think that to create a basis on which we can work together, we must recognize each other. But actually, the people are really ignorant. So this must change. The people must recognize the Kurdish cause, and they must recognize the oppression of the Kurds, and that this region is a little bit different to the other regions of Iran.
Yeah, it's also interesting because they do go out on the street together. I see, for example, women taking their headscarves off, but there's also women who do wear them and who would still wear them if it was not obligatory.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are together, and now the demonstrations are everywhere in Iran, and you would hope that, you know, the all groups, you know, see each other's wish for freedom, but that's not really the case, you say. And you started in the beginning already saying that Kurdistan in Iran is very much underreported. And maybe this also has to do with it, that many people don't know very well what's going on in Iran. I notice it myself too. I've been writing and reporting from Kurdistan for a long time, but I've never been in Rashilat yet. I don't know how to do it safely, also for my sources. Maybe I can, I have several people who told me, like, you can visit my family, you can go to my village, but I would be so scared to endanger my sources, because that's what the regime does. Maybe they will leave me alone, but not the people I talk to. So it's very hard to report from on the ground. What do you think is the reason that is underreported? Maybe this plays a role, but what do you think is the problem?
I think, as I have said, one reason is that the majority in Iran is not aware of this conflict, or maybe they don't want to hear it. I think it's this one. They don't want to hear it, or they don't want to accept it. The other thing is, for example, in Germany, the people, especially of the part of Kurdistan in Iran, they don't have a strong lobby. The strongest lobby of the Kurds is of the northern part of Kurdistan. This lobby is very, very strong.
But you mean the lobby in Turkey, that is? Yeah.
Yes. But they, unfortunately, they don't report so much about this part of Kurdistan. The focus is always on the northern part of Kurdistan. And I have often spoken to people here in Germany about the Kurdish cause, and it's really crazy. Many people don't know that that there are Kurds in this part of in the part of Iran. I mean, there are 10 million Kurds in this part of Iran. It's the second biggest part of Kurdistan, but the people don't know it. So I think it's of course because of a bad lobby. The Kurds must change this, and this is also why I started to be a part of this Kurdish struggle and to report about the situation in Eastern Kurdistan in German, so that I also reach German people.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And do you get interview requests also from German media or from other, because Hengau does get a lot of attention now, it seems, like at least more than before.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have seen many requests, but not of German platforms, only of Sweden, Netherlands, Arabian countries, but not of German countries, unfortunately. So
no.
Maybe I should change that because I could speak in German to them, so that would be better.
And what do you think this protest will lead to? When I read about like what other people say, it will not easily lead to the end of the regime, but it will weaken them. What do you think it will lead to?
This is a really good question. I think it's very, very difficult for the people to overthrow the regime, because the regime is very, very strong and they used very effective measures to crush protests. This is how dictatorial regimes function, how they work. And this is the only way they stay in power. And that includes, for example, shutting down the internet. I think this time the people will not in the next weeks or months, they will not reach the end of this regime. But I think the protests will not stop, because, as you have said, the protests are now very, very different to the protests from the last years. And I think every protest which comes in the next days will strengthen protests which will come in the next months, or maybe in the next years.
In what way is it different than, for example, the green protests from a couple of years ago? What is the most important difference?
I think the most important point is that there are so many people from different parts of the country who are working or protesting together, and they are supporting each other with slogans, and that has never been this case before. I mean, there are people, there are women and there are men who are protesting together. There are different ethnic groups who are going on the streets. And I think this is the main difference. The people are sticking together. And this is very important for a change. And the people don't stick together. When the people only protest in different parts of the country, they will never end this regime.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned the word slogan, because there is this famous Kurdish slogan, Jinjian Azadi, that is now being used in the rest of Iran as well, but then in Persian. But it's a Kurdish slogan and it's not new.
Yes. As you have said, Jinjian Azadi is a Kurdish slogan and an essential part of the Kurdish freedom movement. These three words form a unit. Without one, the other is not possible. It contains hope and freedom for the women, but also for the society as a whole. It means living freely as a woman, living their Kurdish identity too. And of course, it means shaping one's own lives as women according to their own desires and their own aspirations. And I think everyone would say that without the liberation of women, there is no liberation of the society at all, because women are half of the society. So it's very, very important. And Kurdish women, for example, are doubly oppressed, on the one side as women, on the other side as Kurds. And so there's a lot to do to achieve full freedom and a prosperous society, to achieve the true goal of Jinjian Azadi.
And are you also, like, when you wake up in the morning and you check the news, are you scared that the security forces are even becoming more violent?
Yes, of course. Yeah. I think nobody of us wants to read these horrible reports about the situation in Kurdistan and Iran. It's really horrible, but I'm reporting about these things since many years, so it's nothing new for me. The difference is that more people are listening to us now. Hangao is working since many years, since 2016. It's the first time that beside of Kurds, also international platforms and non-Kurds are listening to us and are feeling the pain we are, or the people in Kurdistan are going through.
Yeah. Is that something that's also hopeful for you, or what is giving you hope in these protests?
It gives me hope that, as I have said, that the people are sticking together. As I have said, it's very important to overthrow this regime. This gives me very, very much hope that the people work together, and also that, as I have said, that they listen to us, that we are not alone. I have seen that many, many German websites, news platforms, use Hengao as a source. I've never seen that before. And that gives me very much hope, of course.
Yeah.
So they see us. It's the first time that the people see us. Before this, the people only saw the country as a whole. But now I have observed that the people are reporting about Kurdistan, and that the people start using her Kurdish name. And this also gives me very hope, also for the Kurdish people.
Yeah, very good. That's all very good explanations. Thank you very much for being my guest, Nagin.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Afashin Podcast, powered by Media News. Your host was Frederike Geerdink. The music you listened to was composed and performed by Ula Shashil. I would highly appreciate it if you shared this podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or wherever you are online, so more people can find it. Thank you in advance, and until the next episode of Afashin Podcast.